Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in Upstate. It is a Friday edition of Straight Up with Sturge. We're live in studio. Diesel and I, we're going to run you up till 5:30 when we join up with the Clemson Sports Network for Clemson Tiger Baseball. The Tigers are in Tallahassee, 6 p.m. first pitch against Florida State. And, of course, Clemson 25-8 on the season, 11-4 in ACC play, Florida State 19-13. But, of course, it's Mike Martin's last year as head coach of the Florida State Seminoles. And, you know, he's always had a little bit of something for Clemson. You remember the days when he pitched a fit and led the deal to get the ACC baseball tournament moved out of Greenville, saying that it was an unfair advantage to Clemson every single year. So let's go put it in Florida, as well as North Carolina and some other places. So, of course, Clemson and Florida State, anytime those two schools get together, it is a big deal. So we will give way to the Tiger Sports Network here later on. As it is partly cloudy down in Tallahassee right now, 85 degrees, but weather is going to be one of the topics of the weekend. Why? Clemson was supposed to, we were supposed to join them tomorrow at 5:30 on ESPN Upstate for a 6 p.m. first pitch. We can let you know Clemson baseball has moved up their Saturday game to 1 p.m., I believe it is, so you can catch that earlier in the day here on ESPN Upstate and, of course, the finale on Saturday. But Mother Nature now affecting our friends up at Furman with their baseball series this weekend, guys. East Tennessee State Buccaneers come in to take on Brett Harker's Paladins. They'll play tonight. And then due to the expected rain Sunday afternoon here in the upstate, they will play a doubleheader tomorrow. Also, VMI is at Wofford this weekend. PC is at the Presbyterian College at the Upstate Spartans. Remember, we talked with Daniel Feig yesterday, the athletic director at Upstate. It is the first round of the Taste of Spartanburg Beer Garden there on the Upstate campus at the Athletic Complex for their baseball and softball games tomorrow. So a lot of different things going on here, but, of course, it's Masters weekend. One last thing to get to college baseball-wise real quickly. South Carolina playing a Thursday through Saturday series down in Gainesville, Florida, against the Florida Gators. And last night got way too far in the hole. They were down 7-1. They end up losing the game 9-5. In South Carolina baseball, now 20-14 on the year, 3-10 in SEC play. And the reality is, for the Gamecocks, if you don't get something going, you're not even going to make the SEC tournament. Forget the NCAA tournament. You're not going to make the SEC tournament because you got to find a way to get at least one win in the next two games in Gainesville to avoid being swept. Just to make that happen, you have to win tonight. I get it. Injuries galore, everything else going on. But the further you get away from back-to-back national championships, a third appearance in a championship series is detrimental to the South Carolina baseball program. Why? Out of sight, out of mind. You know what? A lot of kids out there in Little League don't remember the run that South Carolina made in winning those titles. They know Jackie Bradley Jr. as a center fielder for the Boston Red Sox. Nothing more, nothing less. So, South Carolina, you got to manage the year. We've heard people like J.C. Sherbert just admit, you know, from the big spurts, due to injuries and some other situations, it's a throwaway year. I'm sorry. South Carolina baseball, back-to-back national championships, three appearances in a row in the championship series. A throwaway season is unacceptable, in my opinion. All right? It's just the way it is, and South Carolina baseball fans deserve better. than 20-14, 3-10 in SEC play at this point of the season. All right, here's what's coming up on the show today, Diesel. Of course, we give way at 5:30, but at 4:37, we're going to talk with our friend Larry Williams from Tiger Illustrated. Larry has written a book about Clemson's football run, but what I've been really impressed with, he has got an article up at TigerIllustrated.com. Of course, you can go follow him on Twitter at Larry Williams TI for Tiger Illustrated. About Brent Venables, you know, there's a guy that we keep wondering, when will he make his move to be a head coach? Guy's completely happy. His kid's playing for him now. Another son may be coming in who will be a senior at Daniel High School this year. But what Brent Venables has overcome, absolutely next level writing by our good friend Larry Williams. So we'll talk with him at 4:37. In between, we're going to give you Masters updates of what's going on down in Augusta. Tiger Woods on the course right now, trying to play catch up, if you will. He's under par for the day, but he is trailing. We'll get into that here in a minute. And then also, Diesel, the final segment of this hour will be open phones, whatever you want to get off. But the Alliance of American Football, I don't know if they are like the redneck videos on YouTube that I saw last night. If this is a hold my beer situation when it comes to the Alliance of American Football, if it's a situation where don't go away mad, just go away. But what they pulled today is absolutely, I don't know, incredible, crazy, unfortunate, stupid, a whole level of insanity of a year in which they couldn't even complete their first season. Oh, man, do they have the ultimate hold my beer moment earlier today. And then also, Diesel, even though we had our spring games here in the state of South Carolina this past weekend with Clemson and the Gamecocks, it is the biggest weekend of the spring in college football. There are spring games all over the place, all over television as well, and we will give you who's in action, maybe what to pay attention to, and a whole lot more. So that's what we're up to between now and 5:30. We can also let you know the Carolina Panthers just made a move at wide receiver to give Cam Newton some help. They go up to the New England Patriots, and they sign wide receiver Chris Hogan to a one-year deal. Chris Hogan appeared in all 16 games for the Patriots last season, caught only 35 passes for 532 yards, but three touchdowns. Had similar production the year before, and of course, you're looking to get some depth there at wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers. Is that's been an area on the field that has been inconsistent, to say the least, in the past few years. I get the fact of Cam Newton's shoulder, the health of it has a lot to do with it, but so has personnel as well. So with Chris Hogan, you know what you're getting. He is one of those possession receivers. You know that he will block. And number two, in this day and age, you know he's going to line up in the right position all the time. So there's a move from the Carolina Panthers just a few weeks removed or before whatever they will do when it comes to the upcoming NFL draft. So, again, those are things that we will get into today. It's a little bit ugly out there in the day in the area. Some scattered thunderstorms, Diesel. But usually they say when it's going to rain and it's nice and warm like this, the fish are biting. Can you confirm or deny that report? Because when I got in here to work today, you had already gotten here. I look over in your passenger seat, and I see a couple of rods and reels in there as your guest inside your Jeep today.
Yeah, I had a pretty good morning. Just a little local small pond. Caught five fish on two lures that I've never caught anything on before, so it was nice to get out there and has some success on something I've never caught before. But, yeah, they love this. They love this overcast, kind of slightly windy, gray weather. They love it.
So you were in pretty good shape today, because I heard you went and saw a really good show last night at the Firmament with Buck Cherry, who you said, boy, they really delivered. And, you know, the reason that you did rock and roll trivia instead of like a in-studio performance the other night's the fact their lead singer's voice, you know, he's been suffering. And if you're touring in the South right now, you're waking up every morning with a pollen sandwich shoved down your throat. You know what I mean? So you said that they put on a really, really good show at the Firmament. But I think I don't know what I'm more proud of you. For headbanging at the Firmament with Buck Cherry, your new friends last night, or the fact you were in good enough shape to get up and go do some fishing this morning. That's a
well, get up is a loose term. I mean, I woke up around 10 a.m. All
right, but still.
Put it that way.
But you, we know you were rocking Greenville last night, so I'm proud of you there, bud. Way to go into a good Friday, into a good weekend. But it is the Masters weekend. When we come back, we'll give you an update on the leaderboard. And listen, right across the top of that leaderboard should probably have a weather notice to it, because weather is going to be one of the stories of the weekend. But you can get in with us at 844-GSP-ESPN. Your thoughts on the weekend. The Braves lose to the Mets last night 6-3, so they're now one game out of first place. But we also have the NBA playoffs beginning on Friday tomorrow. However, we're still talking about the Lakers as well. But when we come back, let's go get an update from the leaderboard at Augusta National. Why? Because it's Masters weekend. It's a tradition here in the South, and let me tell you, I'm not sure I've seen a more stacked leaderboard in some time. So Diesel was hanging with Buck Cherry last night. Right now, Tiger Woods is on number 9 at Augusta National, which happens to be called Carolina Cherry. You know, every hole at Augusta National has a name. Like number 1 is Tea Olive. Number 2 is Pink Dogwood. 3, Flowering Peach. 4, Flowering Crab Out. And so I just thought it was appropriate. Buck Cherry with Diesel, Carolina Cherry with Tiger. You know, two great names right there. When you think of Tiger, you know Tiger Woods. When you think of Diesel, you think of Sports Talk's most decent producer. But legendary single names right there, no doubt about it. However, while playing number 9, he's coming off a bogey at number 8. Tiger Woods has dropped from 3-under to 2-under, looking to make the turn where he is even par for the day. Here, speaking of the day, Jason Day is your leader in the clubhouse. He's fired 70-67. He and Francisco Molinari, they are your leaders in the clubhouse. They are 7-under par, both of them, matching 70-67s. And Dustin Johnson's in second place at -6. Also, Brooks Koepka, he's on the course today. He's even par. He's on the 18th hole. He's -6. Ian Poulter's in the clubhouse at -5. John Rahm's on the course at -5. Matt Kuchar's in the clubhouse at -4, along with Phil Mickelson, who shot 1 over on the day. Adam Scott's at -4. Bryson DeChambeau shoots 3 over today, but he's still there at -3. Justin Thomas is at -3. Kevin Kisner, Tiger Woods, Ricky Fowler, all at -2. Jordan Spieth finally gets on track today. He shoots 68. He's at -1. The reality is you make the cut, which is 10 shots of the lead, and it may be about the biggest cut ever when it comes to Augusta National. You got a chance to get back in this thing, especially with the weather playing a factor this weekend, because today, as the afternoon goes on, you'll have scattered thunderstorms, a 60% chance of rain, humidity 72%, and a 10-mile-an-hour wind. But tomorrow morning, when they get started earlier in the day, morning thunderstorms, a 50% chance of rain, a high of 85, the wind only in the 7-mile-an-hour range tomorrow. But when they're coming down the stretch on Sunday, if Mother Nature allows time-wise everything this afternoon and tomorrow, a 90% chance of afternoon thunderstorms on Sunday, Diesel. 16-mile-an-hour winds. So we'll see how Sunday plays out. Right now, they need to get through tomorrow before they can get to Sunday. But we already know that Sunday, Furman, for instance, they said we can't play baseball with East Tennessee State. They went ahead and scheduled a doubleheader. But the one thing that the weather does, Diesel, is it brings the course to a – You were talking yesterday. Look at these greens. Look at these fairways. They're so lush right now. You get a little bit more rain this afternoon, possibly overnight in the morning. Boy, it softens this course up. And guess what? These guys are going to be playing target golf this weekend. You know what I mean? Not worried about so much where they land the ball and where it rolls as much as fly that sucker in as high and softly as possible and let it stay there. And this is the time where Augusta National can become defenseless, if you will. It's never going to be completely defenseless, but the undulations, the roll, and the speed of the greens are things that make Augusta National what it is. And if Mother Nature puts down a bunch of rain here in the next 24 hours, it will do that course a disservice. It will file down the fangs, so to speak, Diesel. But would you rather have that? You're a casual golf fan. You're learning the game. You exude a little bit of passion, like the day after I see you get back from playing, that's all you want to talk about that next day. You know what I mean? Hey, man, I hit a couple, straight down the middle, blah, blah, blah. If you were going to watch the Masters, the first major of this season, Diesel, do you want to see the guy struggle or do you want to see him make birdies?
I'd rather see him struggle.
Same here, because every week is make birdies on the PGA Tour, correct? So I like to see the human element of it. I like to see – I don't know if you saw earlier today, but two-time major winner his name just – was addressing his golf ball, doing a little half swing. The toe of the driver hits the golf ball, bounces it off the tee marker where you have to, tee in between the sets of tees, X amount of feet. Off of that 10 feet down, actually did not count as a shot. He goes on and birdies the hole, but since he was only addressing the ball and was no intent to actually strike the ball there, doesn't count as a shot. That's garbage. You make contact, you make contact. I'm not talking about knocking it off the tee. This guy hit it a good 25 yards down the fairway. So, I mean, I love that guy who's sitting on the golf course when you're addressing your ball and it falls off the tee and he goes, one. No, we get it. So, again, Masters going on right now, and, of course, we'll keep you updated between now and 5:30, but weather's going to be one of the stars of the weekend. Real quickly, looking through here, again, Tiger Woods trying to get to the turn even, and here's the deal. Don't lose any space here. Also, when it comes to my picks, I'm still hanging around. I got Ricky Fowler. He's -2. Rory McIlroy, let's see how he's done today real quickly. Because, again, this is the time, if Roy, you're going to ever win the career majors, have all four of them at some point, this would be the time to do it. And you are +1 for the tournament. So I'm -1 with my two picks. And then my hang-around pick, Bubba Watson, he's sitting at even right now. So everybody potentially still in play. All right, let's before we get out to break, because we got Larry Williams from Tiger Illustrated on the other side. Delvin's up. Delvin, hope you're having a good day.
I'm doing great. How you guys doing today?
It's Friday, and we're out of here early. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah. Well, you know where I would like to be right now? I would like to be a fly the wall in that meeting between Will Wade, LSU, and the NCAA. That's what I would love to be right now. See what he's going to do, because, he can't lie to them and then go lie in court like that when he's going to be suspended in court this month.
You mean soon-to-be former LSU coach Will Wade? Because until I see otherwise, that's the way I think this thing plays out.
Yeah, that's what I would love to be able to find out when he had to say to LSU and Auburn. I mean, not LSU. Yeah, LSU and NCAA tournament in the NCAA. I wouldn't know what he had to say to them because, everything he said to them, he got to say it in court.
Yeah, you can't take the fifth there. You know what I mean? You can't the reason that he was indefinitely suspended by the LSU administration, they flat out asked him some questions, and he refused to answer it. And you know what? he's got bosses to live up to, and that's why they suspended him. And I don't think he'll ever coach another game for the LSU Tigers. Thanks for the phone call, Delvin. Have a great weekend. Couple other moves going on in college basketball. The University of Nevada, what the hell are you thinking? You went out and hired Steve Alford and gave him a 10-year contract, Diesel, the very same Steve Alford that just got fired after, what, 10 games this year with UCLA, made it to 3 Sweet 16s in 4 years as coach there, not known as the nicest guy, doesn't like dealing with the media, just sort of a hard ass, you know what I mean? On the flip side of this, why it doesn't make a lot of sense, Eric Musselman, who just completed his career at Nevada, he just took the University of Arkansas job, just making things that much more difficult in the SEC. He's the antithesis of Steve Alford. He's a very positive, energetic. I'm talking, do you not want to at least keep the next hire somewhere in the same realm of operation as the previous guy? You went and took a very, you went and followed up a very positive, energetic coach in Musselman with a surly, mean, nasty guy in Steve Alford. And not only that, you gave him a 10-year contract. So not a great move from the University of Nevada when it comes to that things. Also, we saw Mick Cronin, the University of Cincinnati Bearcats coach, be option number 8 for UCLA. And guess what? UCLA finally gets their guy the other day with Mick Cronin. One of the first calls, and I can confirm this, that the University of Cincinnati made was to Columbia, South Carolina with Frank Martin to gauge his interest in leaving South Carolina for the Cincinnati Bearcat programs. Frank Martin said, no, thank you very much. So any thoughts of him being available, especially for Cincinnati? I still think he's happy in Columbia, but if that Miami job comes available at some point, that would be going home for Frank Martin, and I think that's when South Carolina fans, you know, depending on you, who you talk to, would get nervous. Also, we mentioned tomorrow when it comes to game number 2 of the Clemson-Florida State series in baseball. It's supposed to be a 6 p.m. First pitch tomorrow on the Clemson Sports Network. They have now moved that game up in Tallahassee tomorrow to 2 p.m. And so we'll join the Clemson Tigers Sports Network at 1:30. So just it's that time of the year where you got to, you know, be a little bit flexible. Next week, Diesel, I can let you know, Monday we'll be at Smoke on the Water, Tyler Butler, Christopher Smith, and me. Also on Tuesday, we'll give way at 6:30 to Clemson baseball as they play in Athens, Georgia against a top 5 Georgia team. Then Friday, Diesel's going to be hosting from 4 to 5:30 before the Duke Blue Devils come into Doug Kingsmore Stadium to take on Clemson in a 6 p.m. first pitch, because next Friday I kind of begin a little different chapter in my life. I go on my first college visit with my daughter. Is there still time? In this day and age, Diesel, you can't joke about things like we even joked about 10 years ago. Is there still time to lock her up to where we don't have to go on a college visit with her? I mean, you've watched this girl grow up a little bit here. Can you believe she and I are hopping on an airplane to go visit a university next Friday? Unbelievable that life, the differences that life can throw you. All right, when we come back, speaking of challenges in life, Brent Venables, the Clemson defensive coordinator, what an amazing story. Well, guess what? It was captured by Larry Williams from Tiger Illustrated. We'll talk with our good friend about this story, about his book that he's written on Clemson football, and a whole lot more after that. It's open phones. We'll give you our Hold My Beer segment with the AAF and a big spring weekend in college football, plus keep you updated on the Masters, and then head down to Tallahassee at 5:30 p.m. So it's a busy time of the year, no doubt about it, but I'm not sure who has been the busiest out there. If it's not Larry Williams from Tiger Illustrated, the lead writer, he's also host of the Clemson Dubcast podcast, has a new book out called Dabo's Dynasty, Clemson's Rise to College Football Supremacy. And has just done an amazing series on Clemson defensive coordinator Brent Venables. Larry Williams from Tiger Illustrated, I hope you're doing well.
Hey, yeah, Mark. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the kind words.
Listen, first of all, let's go back to the book, Dabo's Dynasty, Clemson's Rise to College Football Supremacy. All of your works can be found online at clemsonfootballbooks.com. You and I have both been here to watch this happen. You know, you've been on the beat even longer than I have. Did you really ever think that you might pen that book the way things started within the first few years?
Oh, no. That was not anything that was in my galaxy. And, I mean, you know, you think back not just to the first few years, but even like, you know, the turning point when they beat LSU in 2012 in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. I mean, you're thinking at that time, man, this program can really be a power. But there's a difference between a power and the supreme being in college football. And, you know, that's up for debate right now between them and Alabama. But I don't think it's unreasonable to think that they could be passing Alabama. And, you know, just a simple fact that, I mean, good grief. Four straight playoff appearances is just incredible. I mean, that's something that back in 2014, the first year of the playoff, I mean, Clemson fans were dreaming of just getting there once.
I'm with you on that one. Of course, it's been great hires. To me, it's been consistency, Larry, when it comes to this Clemson program. I reached out to you, number one. I love talking music. I love talking football with you. But I was blown away by this series that you've done on Brent Venables. You know, here's a guy that we know has to have his own get-back guy on the sideline that, you know, now his son's part of the program, Jake, at linebacker. And, of course, you know, a very highly recruited son who's a senior at Daniel. But here's a guy that I found out through your series here in the last week, and it's free at TigerIllustrated.com. Go to Larry Williams TI on Twitter and click the link. Here's a guy that's in total control of his life, is sure of what he is doing, and I don't really think pays any attention to the chatter on the outside. He is cool being Brent Venables.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, until I actually stumbled on this story and kind of heard about it about a year ago. The way that I heard about it was Brent went and spoke 2 years ago. He went and spoke 3 months after Clemson's won the national championship in Tampa. He was asked to go speak to a group called Ripple of One out of Seneca. It's a nonprofit organization that tries to help mainly mothers, single mothers, get out of difficult situations in terms of getting off of government assistance and getting jobs and providing incentives for them to go out and work and to be empowered. And so I had no idea that Brent was from similar circumstances growing up in Salina, Kansas. His biological father left the family when Brent was 2 years old, just decided he didn't want to be a dad anymore, didn't want to be a husband. And that then sort of set the stage for a succession of, I think, four stepfathers over Brent's elementary, middle school, and high school years, several of whom were abusive, physically abusive, mentally abusive to the mother of those three boys. And, you know, he remembers the embarrassment of going to the grocery store with his mother, using food stamps, getting government cheese. He remembers, you know, when the electricity got turned off on a regular basis, the water gets turned off. I mean, a lot of people, I'm sure, out there, you know, have been through this stuff, you know, people listening and know how hard that those circumstances are. But anyway, he felt led to go give his testimony, and on the basis of, you know, if there was some help for his mother back in those days, someone or some group that could have helped her feel empowered, then they would not have gone through such difficult circumstances. And so he had, until 2 years ago, he had not shared his story, not even with Devo Sweeney. He had shared bits and pieces of it, but he just didn't want to. He didn't feel right doing it for obvious reasons. You know, it was a private matter for him at that time, but I think he just felt inspired, and so he told that story. And so about a year ago, someone who was at that speech shared it with me, sort of that he had a story that might be even worse than Dabo's story in terms of his upbringing. And so then it was just a matter of, telling Brent, hey, man, I would be honored to tell your story. And so it was just a matter of sitting down. And I tell you, I've been through a lot of long interviews, and most of those interviews consist of question, answer, question, answer. I promise you, he said, I guess we'll start at the beginning. I swear to you, an hour and 45 minutes later, I hadn't said a word. He just didn't stop.
And you can tell. It's, again, go to Tiger Illustrated. It's a five-part series, sort of an opening, and then part ones through four. And quite frankly, Larry, it's a great time to get involved with TigerIllustrated.com. Y'all have a 50% off sale where you can get a free T-shirt as well. Just use the promo code 20 years. But you mentioned Dabo's upbringing, Brent Venables. These are two guys that obviously get along. They're on the same page. It's not a... Yeah, I don't think there's even egos involved at this point, because otherwise, if there were, Brent Venables would have probably moved on. And to me, it's that culture at Clemson that has been one of the motivating factors for this consistency in the run.
No, there's no doubt. And if you talk to Brent, and this part hasn't been a secret per se before this series of articles, but he really reinforces and emphasizes just how important Dabo and his family have been to Brent Venables and his family. Mm-hmm. He was not a, I guess, particularly strong spiritual person back during the Oklahoma days. I think it's fair for me to say that. Nor was his family. And according to his words, his time here, since they arrived here in 2012, the spiritual growth, the walk with their faith has been just really compounded and it's grown. And you just, you know, in talking to him, you just, his belief is that the steps that he took to come here was not just about being successful on the football field. It was also what he believes steps that were preordained and meant to be in terms of his spiritual side as well, for sure.
All right, as we close up with Larry Williams, lead writer at TigerIllustrated.com, also host of the Clemson Dubcast and author of four books, his most recent, Dabo's Dynasty, Clemson's Rise to College Football Supremacy. Go to ClemsonFootballBooks.com. Yeah, we sit there, we watch him, we laugh. You get to see him on Mondays or Tuesdays every week at press conference. What's the one thing you found out about Brent Venables, not background-wise, rough background, that surprised you? You know what I mean? Because I can literally tell you, as a fellow member of the media, and I'm not really a writer, I learned a lot in this story, Larry, and I commend you for that, because that's one of the reasons I wanted to reach out and get you on.
Probably the thing that surprised me, and we met during spring break, actually. And I had actually, initially, this was supposed to be a Thanksgiving series of articles last year. And then I just couldn't get a hold of him, you know. And it's hard to pin him down during the year. And then I was like, okay, well, it'll be a good Christmas series of articles around Christmas time. Well, I couldn't get a hold of him in December either, just because he was so locked in on both, you know, getting ready for the playoff and also recruiting. And so finally, I guess about a month ago, I said, hey, how about spring break? Would that be good for you? And he goes, yes. And so when I sat down with him, totally different from what you see on TV and what you see at the press conferences when he's just so locked in on what he's doing. He just has that tunnel vision, and he's just the picture of determined ferocity, I guess. Whereas when he's actually off and really off and detached from that grind of preparation, he's just a normal dude, and he's smiling and laughing and just really, really enjoys being around his family and doing normal, quote unquote, normal things when he can. And obviously not a lot of time to do that when you're a football coach, but that slice of time during spring break really allowed me to see a window of him that you don't normally see, just because most of the times we see him is when he's in his element professionally. Whereas this was when he was in his element personally, kicking back his feet and talking, you know, just admiring just the daily existence of being a dad, going to the grocery store, taking his kids to and from school. He just really reveled in that during that time. And so I don't know if that's surprising necessarily, but probably more refreshing.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, congratulations to you. Great story that you have told here. Also, congratulations to Tiger Illustrated. 20-year anniversary this week. So it's a great chance to go check out things at 50% off sale, get a T-shirt, use the promo code 20 years. But listen, next time you're in Greenville, I heard you did a little gig with our mutual friend Doug Jones. So let me know so I can come out and see you. I still maintain you and Mick Mixon, two best drummers in the media right now.
Anyway, I actually played last night in Spartanburg at the Freight Yard. Not sure you've been there, but played with the Grateful Brothers and my good friends in that band. I sit in with them occasionally. Boy, what a great spot in Spartanburg, and also a great bunch of musicians as well. So, yeah, I try to try to let my hair down. Well, I don't have any more hair.
Try to
enjoy myself in my spare time. So.
All right. Well, listen, congratulations. You deserve it on this one. It was a fantastic story, and I love to compliment people when I can read something, get lost in it, and find out something new. Listen, that's a privilege in today's day and age. Thanks for your time, Larry.
That means a lot, man. Thank you so much for your interest in talking about all this, and just really appreciate the kind words.
All right, there you go. Larry Williams from Tiger Illustrated. Follow him on Twitter at Larry Williams TI. And I'm telling you, I'm not blowing smoke. Larry's not a Clemson guy. Larry's one of the best writers out there. This is a very, very, very powerful story. I think it will also answer a lot of questions, regardless of your fandom, why Brent Venables is still where he is. 844-GSP-ESPN. Open phones, Diesel, till 5:30, all right? But here's the deal. The Alliance of American Football's latest move equals hold my beer. So, Diesel, we now have a three-way tie ahead of the leaderboard in Augusta. It is Brooks Koepka, Francisco Molinari, Jason Day all in at -7. Harding is on the course at -7. He's on number 18. Dustin Johnson, Adam Scott at -6, one shot off. Ian Poulter, Louis Oosthuizen, Jason Rahm in at 5-under. Matt Kuchar, Phil Mickelson, and crew at 4-under. At 3-under is a group that includes Tiger Woods. He's at number 10. He's 1-under on the day. Same thing with Ricky Fowler through 9, Justin Thomas, J.B. Holmes at -2. Listen, it's going to be a hell of a weekend, weather permitting, there in Augusta with that type of stacked leaderboard coming up. But, Diesel, what's a redneck's famous last words?
Hey, y'all, watch this.
Or?
Hold my beer.
All right. Do you remember a former professional, even though it was minor league, it's still professional, a football league that recently closed and couldn't make it through their first year called the Alliance of American Football? Tom Dundon killed the league. Most people have now speculated that he bought the league, if you will, to strictly for a gambling app technology. All right. Now, I'm hearing word, a rumor, that Bally's is going to ultimately end up with that technology. So That would be fair at this point. Secondly, this dude went and screwed over a bunch of people for technology on an app, left them, got them thrown out of hotels, couldn't afford plane tickets on the way home. Now players are suing the Alliance of American Football for being lied to, correct?
That's right.
Guess what these jackasses at the Alliance of American Football have decided to do today for whatever reason? They are now going to prevent former players of that league from signing current deals with the Canadian Football League. Remember, some of these guys are still holding around, hanging around, wanting that opportunity in the right situation to make the bounce to the NFL, and you can't do it if you aren't playing somewhere. But how can a league who did not make it through a year now tell those players you can't go sign with another league?
Yeah, how do they have any legal right to their employment status or to manage their employment status when they don't even exist anymore? I'm pretty sure that wouldn't hold up in court.
Listen, you were in breach of contracts for not paying your employees when it comes to the players. Why would you even think you have the ability to stop players from going somewhere else? Is this not a situation where you're better off keeping your mouth shut? I'm thinking that someone in the back of their mind somewhere thinks that they have a chance to bring this league back with, you know, the proper funding. You said something that was 100% correct the other day. Every Jimmy, Ken, Kevin, whatever, they've tried to make spring football work. It doesn't work. I maintain if the NFL thought they could make a dime off it, they'd already control the spring leagues to begin with. So, how in the world can you fail on your responsibilities as an employer, fold, and then try to dictate after the fact where those people can now come and go? This is about the most un-American thing I've ever freaking heard of.
Yeah, it'd be like McDonald's going out of business and then McDonald's telling you, sorry, you can't go work for Burger King.
Right.
How does that work? I don't even understand how that's possible.
I mean, give us a clue if we have it, but you know what? Don't go away, man. Just go away sometimes. Tom Dundon, you may have been after gambling app technology-wise. You have hurt your career as a businessman, but as a man as a whole.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.